Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
Welcome to this month's edition of the Brighton Business Show. You're listening to Vivian Smith on 97.2 FM.
The Brighton Business Show on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
Now today I have lots of treats for you. We have a mother of 10 who also advises at boardroom level, C-suite level in fact, so I'm going to get her to explain what that means. And I have somebody here who is very good at using the body to help management styles and management effectiveness, but he's also an expert on uncaging your creativity. And I have with me Lisa Moore, who I will tell you a little bit more about later. So let's start first of all with Danusia. Is that how you pronounce your name?
It's Danusia.
Danusia. There we go. I've got it wrong already.
It's fine. It's very easy to do.
Let's start with Danusia Melina Durbin. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So first of all, I want you to... I gather here from my notes that you're a serial entrepreneur. And you're a straight-talking consultant advising boards and C-suite clients. Now, I had to ask you this earlier, but what exactly is a C-suite client?
Oh, anything with chief in front of their name, like chief technology officer, yeah? CMO,
okay.
CTO, COO, chief operations officer.
All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
They're a specific breed.
Okay, so you advise them on the strategic leadership and decision-making processes.
That's right.
And does being a mother of 10 help you with this? I would imagine you have to be quite strategic as a mother of 10.
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Yes, it does. I think a lot of people think that being a mother will be a disadvantage in the business world, and actually, no, it's anything but. So yes, it's all about logistics, teamwork, managing agendas, very different agendas. Strategic level stuff. Absolutely.
Okay, great. I always think, you know, that mothers have to be really organized and they have to be very good at providing solutions at the last minute when something dramatic happens. They have to come up with an alternative. So, yeah, I would hire a mother every time. But I know that's not always the view of the business world, is it? So how do you get over that?
Personally or in
organizations? Or in organizations.
Well, funnily enough, I've never been hired because I've got all these children. So that's really funny. In fact, most people don't ever think I've got lots of children.
Okay.
Because 10 is a bit extreme, yeah.
I don't know how you would keep 10 children quiet, but yeah.
It's okay. I've got 5 adult ones and I've got 5 young ones.
So okay, that's a good equation.
Yeah, running around my ankles. Organisationally, yes. Mothers are seen as a bit of a problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of organisations seem to position them, even though they might talk the talk about, you know, flex and return to work. Actually, they're still trying to remedially cope with mothers.
And why do you think they're seen as a problem?
Because the ideal worker is seen as masculine.
Okay, but you haven't really answered my question. Why do you think that is? I mean, surely women, because they're so adaptable and flexible, would be ideal employees, no?
There's a presenteeism, isn't there, in organisations that suggests that, you know, you have to give your life to that. There can't be anything else. And so that's the kind of dominant view of a career. And actually the split focus of a woman with children is, you know, she's going to love her children. Is she going to love her career as much?
And I guess you've also got the issue or point of maternity leave and mm-hmm. then perhaps changing your mind about how you want your job to be when you come back from maternity. I mean, I know that some of the things I'm talking about are covered by legal guidelines, but I mean, in real life, do you feel that that's a factor? Are people, you know, put off by that or worried about that, concerned about
that?
Well,
it's very much a factor. I think there's two things here. So 54,000 women in the UK per year are either demoted or taken out of their jobs through maternity every single year. So it's a very real problem. It's not just a kind of attitude issue.
No.
There's action that's taken
against absolutely,
women.
Yeah.
But on at a practical level, it's a bit of a pain as well, isn't
yeah.
it? You know, you have to, if you're managing...
It's a bit of a logistical headache,
yeah,
I guess.
It
yeah.
is, yeah. Frankly, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fact of life,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you know, women do have children, 85%. And there are fathers involved.
Of course.
Of those children.
Because you also now have paternity leave, don't uh-huh. you? And parents may decide to perhaps change the basis of the way that they work,
yes.
maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. So But tell me what you tend to be, I mean, you advise on strategy, sure, but can you give me some examples? Could you give me a sort of a case history or an example of a couple of companies you might work for, a couple of types of companies you might work with?
Yeah, so typically our company is brought in when a company such as a retail bank has got a board that is very successful on paper, but actually in relationship terms, I mean the people on the board really hate each other.
Okay.
Yeah, they're dysfunctional, they're fighting against each other. They know they have the same agenda to actually make a commercial bank, but they really are tripping each other up.
And I assume that this can't be dealt with by their in-house HR department.
No. They're too close to it,
yeah,
so they can't
okay.
do that. Or am I be working one-on-one with a chief exec who's profoundly genius. I can think of somebody at the moment who is also, their genius is because they might be query on the spectrum, for instance.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's... So it's not just a board, it can be a team, it can be an individual. But they are very specific kinds of people that wield power in a certain way. So I guess we're power specialists. So you have to kind of know what to do with power.
Okay, and how well does your advice go down? Do you find a lot of resistance?
That's a great question. Well, I tend not to work with people that
okay.
don't want it.
They've already got to agree that they're not going to resist you. Okay.
Yes, surrender is best.
Okay, well, having met you, I think that probably sounds like a wise course of action. Okay.
Is that a compliment?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So tell me a little bit about, you're the founder of School for Mothers, aren't you? And that's a sort of a movement, it's a podcast. Mm. Give me a flavour of that.
It's quite new. We've been out for 8 months, 9 months now. I started the podcast with zero listeners, zero budget and zero experience. And I think that's a demonstrator of the kind of members that we've got, which are brazen women. Women with big ideas.
I like that. Brazen women,
yeah.
Okay.
Brazen women with big ideas who are going to make an impact, positively make an impact
sure.
in the world. And so now we're listened to around the world, 52 countries and...
Great.
Anyway, it's going really well. So I think that I mentioned that as a kind of example of the kind of women. So we don't talk about parenting. We don't talk about children. We love our children. You know, we'd walk into fires for them. Hopefully we won't have to. But, you know, it's not about being a mother. It's about not losing the spirit of who you are.
Whilst
just because
being a
you've
mother.
Had a mother.
Yeah, okay.
Just because, oh, sorry, we've all had mothers. But just because you've had children. Yeah,
okay.
Because there is a bit of a narrative that you have to give yourself up.
Okay, and there's a funny bit here where you said that
I don't
your
know what
last
notes you're reading.
Your last baby, I gather, was triplets of 5 years old. So presumably, you know, that's one of the reasons it got up to 10.
Well, yes, I'm a bit of an overachiever. Triplets.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Radio Reverb.
Radio Reverb.
You're listening to the Brighton Business Show. This is Vivian Smith on 97.2 FM. You can listen to us online at radioreverb.com and also via podcast. So my second guest today is Andrew Kane. Now, I gave a slightly enigmatic introduction to you, so I'm sure you could do much better. Please explain how you would use teach people to use your body in management.
Well, I think perhaps the easiest way to think of it is to compare yourself on a good day to a bad day. So any
okay.
day you're going to hit problems
you, but on
and
a really
challenges.
Good day. Okay.
Sorry, what?
It's like that advert, you, but on a really good day.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
yeah.
Okay.
And on a bad day, when challenges come up, we don't deal with them very well. We get stressed, we get tied up in them, we get stuck. Whereas on a good day, we can roll with them much better.
Sure, no, that makes sense. So would it have something to do with breathing as well as movement?
Well, that's a good start, yes. I mean,
yeah,
breathing is
okay.
a kind of a movement, isn't it?
Okay.
And one of the things you notice is that when we get stuck around a problem, we often get physically stuck as
sure.
well. So when we get tense,
yeah.
our breathing gets tense, our shoulders get tense, for example, or we can be off balance, or people clench their jaws.
Uh-huh.
And what's useful to notice is that not only is that tension an expression of how you feel, but it also creates that state within yourself.
Sure. I mean, remembering to breathe is quite important too, isn't it, when you're
it's
stressed?
Vital. Yeah.
So
yeah,
and
totally. Yes, sorry, I was joking. But yeah.
Yeah.
being aware of how you're breathing,
yeah,
and taking conscious control of that,
mm-hmm,
to adjust your mood and take control of how you want to be is a great way in. It's a good example of using the body.
And I mean, from the little I know about body language and things like that, I know that having watched that excellent podcast, but it was a TED talk, wasn't it, Amy Cuddy, on power posing and stuff like that. I'm guessing here, I don't know much about you, I'm just trying to tease out some details, but power posing or a powerful stance, not intimidating, but powerful. I'm guessing that's quite important in a management situation, particularly if you're managing a difficult situation or difficult issue.
Well, certainly it can be. And yeah, so power posing be another example of how we have this feedback mechanism between our bodies both expressing how we are, but also creating how we are.
Yeah, sure.
And it's a way to intervene. So yeah, in some cases, people might need to feel more confident, more powerful.
Yes.
And may have been given the advice or decided for themselves, oh yes, I should be more confident in this situation.
Okay.
But just the thought doesn't really change very much. But
sure,
having some simple physical things that you can do gives you a great way in.
Okay. Sounds really interesting. So give me an example of a client that you worked with recently and what you what their problem was, perhaps. And you don't need to go into any names. And what you helped them to do and how you helped them to do that.
Right, yeah. So a client I worked with recently was wanting to apply for a new job at a higher position. And he was concerned and he'd got feedback that although what he was saying was very powerful, he wasn't saying it in a powerful way.
Okay.
And so he wasn't really
so
getting...
So his delivery was a bit
exactly, yeah. And there's two ways you can kind of work with that. You can either go almost the body language route of have a checklist of, okay, remember to speak like this, remember to do that. What we did instead was change how he was in his body in order for him to feel more authoritative, so then the body language would flow naturally.
Because
so
I think people don't always realise that, do they? If you, you know, one thing is connected to the other. There's that old trick, isn't there, of where if you put a pencil between your teeth, which makes you smile, you automatically feel more cheerful. And that sounds so ridiculous, doesn't it? But I'm using a very basic example of that. But
basic is good. Yeah, I think like one of the traps we fall into is when we want to change something about ourselves, is we tend to think that complicated is somehow better than simple.
And if you're nervous, overcomplication is going to just go out the window, isn't
exactly.
it? You're just going to forget everything.
Yeah,
go back
yeah.
to breathe.
Yeah, under
just
pressure,
breathe.
The simpler the better.
Okay, okay. And I know, because you're smiling as you're saying this, that you've got that very playful side to you. So I'm taking it that you can bring in that creativity and that sense of play into the workspace as well, can't you?
Yeah, so this can come through the body. It's also another sort of avenue that I take, that perhaps another misconception that we have is that we think that if something's important, we must be serious about it.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're actually not the same thing.
No.
Something can be an important issue where actually getting tight about it and very adult and analytical can actually keep us locked in the same old attempted failed solutions that we've had in the past. So one of the things I help people do in that way is to loosen up, have fun, and start to discover completely new solutions that they weren't even aware of before. So they can surprise themselves.
So they're surprising themselves. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like that.
When you surprise yourself, then you've discovered something genuinely new.
Plus, I guess, I mean, laughter is connected with learning, isn't it? If you can have fun or you can enjoy yourself, at least, whilst you're learning, then you perhaps will take that important point on board much better. So again, a good case for managers to be able to instill the necessary lessons or whatever, or suggested changes perhaps in practice that way.
Yeah, absolutely. If someone laughs, then you've impacted them in some way.
Okay.
Something's happening. And they're relaxed and they're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's being impacted, they're relaxed and they're paying attention, that's a really good start.
That's a kind of, that's how you want them, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the situation you want, or what state you want them in.
Yeah.
Okay, and do you tend to work with individuals or with groups? What's your best way of working?
I do both. What I love best is working with groups, actually, because in companies and teams, we all have patterns that we get into, and it can be great when you're working with a team to help people be aware of each other's patterns as well.
Oh,
like,
okay,
in this you normally do that and I normally do this, and when we start to see our patterns and other people's patterns, then we can find new choices around them and decide, okay, so I'm going to try and be this way different, so I'm not just stuck in my habitual way of responding.
So does that have anything to do with, I learned about matching and mirroring in NLP. Do you utilise that kind of thing? It sounds very sinister, but actually it can be used in a very good way, can't it, to create rapport. Do you use that kind of thing, or is it different from that?
If we were to draw a parallel with what we were talking about before, between the difference between body language, which can be like a checklist, and actually genuinely getting into a state and then letting it flow. The same, it can be true here, that by feeling relaxed in yourself, confident in yourself, and connecting in the other person with what you genuinely like about them, then your body language will naturally flow from that. So it's less of a conscious thing,
that makes
which
sense.
Can be a bit artificial.
And you can see that, can't you, when people are getting on well, that they're naturally mirroring each other. There's two people on a first date or something, they're leaning towards each other at the same point. If one crosses they do the same thing. So I guess what you're saying is that happens naturally, but you need to be able to be relaxed and open in order for that to happen.
Yes, and I think you can also make a decision around it as well. So if there's a colleague at work who you find difficult, and you've noticed that whenever you get close to them, you're getting tense or imagining how this conversation is going to go badly, you can make the choice to think, relax within yourself and think about something in them that you actually like.
Yes.
And latch onto that so you can deliberately cultivate a friendliness.
And you're kind of meeting them where they're at as well, aren't you? Which is a nice place to be. So you're putting yourself out there.
It's the only place to be. You can't start from where you're not.
You
have to start from where you are and where they are.
And where they are,
exactly. That's the only place. Yeah.
Okay. And Danusha, bringing you into this here, do you often find that when people are at loggerheads, I mean, you were talking about helping perhaps board members to work together rather than separately. Do you find that that's quite obvious, and that's something that you notice, that their styles are very opposed, or their delivery or their physical presence is very opposed, as well as their sort of verbal presentation?
Well, I think sometimes they've forgotten their main agenda.
Yeah,
They're actually on the same side.
Yes.
But because they're in their own faction, so there might be the sales and the finance and the
them and us kind of situation.
They get into their very, very, categorised kind of spaces.
Okay.
And they're against each other. You're right, them and us.
Yeah.
And when you actually, I think it's about injecting humanity and reminding them all they're human beings, with feelings, and that's very antithetical to a boardroom and business, but actually that's the real job, to remind everybody that they all are human.
And if they can't get on, then the business isn't going to get on either,
exactly.
Is it?
And actually, it's very unusual if people can't get on.
Yeah.
There's something in everybody that you can, you can connect.
Yes.
That human level.
Sure. You're kind of finding a common denominator
Okay. So it's quite therapeutic work actually.
Yeah, I can imagine. It must be fascinating. Yeah. All right. Great.
Radio Reverb. Radio Reverb.
Okay, so I'm going to bring Lisa Moore in now, and I've got to tell you a little bit of a story first, because at the beginning of this year I decided to embark on a brand new adventure and take everything that I'd learnt, or I have learnt over my many years in different sorts of businesses. I've worked as a TESOL teacher, I've been a mentor, a coach, an author. I'm going to combine all of that, and I'm going back to school. I'm starting my PGCE in September, and I will be training as a secondary school teacher in English. So a little bit of a change, but I felt I'd be a bit of a fraud if I was still running the Brighton Business Show. So therefore, I have found my ideal successor for this job, and that is Lisa Moore. Now, Lisa, you've been on the show before, haven't you? Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
I have been on the show before. I can't remember what it was, about 6 months ago, I think.
Uh-huh.
Came to talk about Inspiring Talks Brighton, which was at the time I was just getting involved in it, but I've now recently taken over as owner of Inspiring Talks. And interestingly enough, Andrew was one of my speakers last month, and Danusha was going to be, but sadly couldn't come on that evening because one of her children wasn't very well.
So now the listeners will get a clue as to how and where we get our wonderful guests from, because of course you need lots and lots of contacts, don't you, if you're going to be doing this kind of job, and
lots
I know
contacts.
That you have them.
I have lots of contacts, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And Lisa's going to be taking over from me as the Athena Regional Director. So for those of you who don't know, because I don't really talk about Athena on here, it's a women's networking group. So she's also going to be taking on my six groups.
Yeah, so you've got lots of change and I've got lots of
change.
Exactly,
and it's all my fault.
Yes, it is.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. No, it's good. It's exciting. That's what we need to do, is we need to grow and take our steps out of that comfort zone and go
Absolutely.
Into the discomfort zone, because yes. that's where we learn, that's where we grow.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If you're not living on the edge, you take up too much space. Isn't
Something
that?
Like yeah, that, yeah.
I think so. Okay, so Lisa, we've obviously had an interesting conversation already about getting on, how in dynamics between people, and you know both of these people here. Can you tell me a little bit about your experience? I know that Andrew came and did a talk for you, didn't he?
Andrew did come and do a talk for us, and it got us all up, and we were playing and okay. doing a bit of improv, and it was...
So playing, what exactly were you doing?
Well, we had to imagine that we were giving somebody a present,
uh-huh.
and the other person had to receive the present and then say what it was. So then there was a conversation that went on between the two people about what the present was, and the other person had to describe, well, what this is why I bought it for you. And
okay.
it was really lovely, because it was sort of three quarters of the way through the evening, so it got people up, it got the energy in the room, and as you've already mentioned, it connected people. Mm-hmm. So people who'd never met made eye contact and laughed and smiled, and it's that absolute human connection.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, people tend to forget, as Dinesh was saying, you know, it is about people when it comes down to it. It is about people, and it's as important, perhaps more important in business than anywhere else, because, you know, this is something that we depend upon for our livelihood. But it's great to get that human connection going in, and of
yeah.
course have some fun.
And I think, you know, that today's world, we're very much online, we're behind screens, we're behind phones. You know, we tend to text or message instead of picking the phone up, or mm-hmm. even walking over to somebody's desk, or even just saying, let's go for a walk and have a chat.
Yeah.
And I think Inspiring Talks especially connects people.
Mm-hmm.
Being on the radio, doing Radio Reverb, the business show, is going to allow people to connect.
Yeah.
So, and of course, Athena, Women's Networking Group, that's exactly what it's about. It's
yeah.
all about that connection, that support, that care. It's really important to me, really important
Great.
To me as a person.
Thank you, Lisa. And I know that this show is going to be in really good hands. And as for me, of course, I'll be listening in and I will miss it. But I just didn't feel that it was right for me to carry on, because I'm moving myself out of the business sphere, really, for
You'll
at least
back.
A while.
You'll be
I expect
back. Maybe
so,
you can come back and be interviewed.
Yes, well, that's right. Perhaps we could start an education show here.
Yes.
Who knows? Okay.
Who knows?
Thank you, Lisa. That's great. Okay, so Dinesha, tell us a little bit about how people can connect with you. I mean, first of all, if there are any businesses out there that really need some help with their leadership, their decision-making processes, what's the process of working with you?
You can find me at DinushaMelinaDurban.com. Now, that's an easy one to find, isn't it? Are there show notes for this with my name? Anyhow, you can find me online. And the process is, we have a conversation, we see if there's a fit. And often the people that come to us, and I do have associates, but often they come because they've tried the kind of more straight input
okay.
into their board, and it hasn't worked.
And they're looking for something a little
deeper,
bit deeper, yeah, and a little bit different.
Yes, yeah,
okay.
absolutely. So
how do you spell your name, Dinesha? Because I'm thinking if people are searching for you, or do you have a company name that would
it's
be
DMD
easy to
Global,
find?
But it's DanushaMelina. DERBEN. That was a long one, wasn't
okay.
it? I bet you wish you hadn't said that.
That's all right. I don't have to write it down, but someone else may well be listening to the radio right this minute and writing it down.
And it's schoolformothers.com.
Okay.
That's easier. So you can find me through that.
Fabulous. And do you have any exciting events, like with your podcast coming up? Is there anything, or what should people be looking out for?
You can come and listen to School for Mothers podcast. It's on iTunes. It's we have a lot of exciting things. I mean, recently, probably my most unusual interview conversation was with Katie Hopkins.
Okay,
that's
I'm
not
sure
out
that
yet,
would be unusual.
But that's coming out very soon. Yeah. So they're one syllable word titles, and
okay.
hers is bitch.
Right. I'll say no more. I feel it's best I say nothing further. Thank you very much, Tanisha.
Radio Reverb. Play something
Brighton. Okay, and Andrew, let us know a little bit more about how people can work with you, because obviously you've got the creativity, the connection, the body language piece, you know, you've got all these things available. What umbrella does it come under? How can people get hold of you?
I think the best way to get hold of me is under two umbrellas.
Okay.
That's not confusing, but you can email me at hello@andrewcain.co.uk.
And that's C-A-I-N, isn't it?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
And have a website, yourownbestfriend.co.uk, which is more targeted around helping people who are too nice for their own good.
Okay. Well, I think there are plenty of people out there.
Exactly, yeah. So,
and in here as well, actually. Yeah, what am I saying out there?
There's quite a lot of content and videos and things on that.
Fantastic. And do you have any workshops or events coming up? I mean, obviously, you've just done a talk at Inspiring Talks. Do you have anything more in the works where people can come and get a flavour up, Andrew?
Yes, I do. I think probably the best way to find out about them is if you just go to the website, yourownbestfriend.co.uk, and you'll be able to see them there.
Okay, perfect. All right. And Danisha, can I get some tips before you go? Some tips for strategic leadership, just anything that comes to mind, maybe five things people should remember or three things people should remember.
Oh, not to put me
not at all. No,
no. Not at all.
See, I've already got the impression that you'll be fantastic at just coming up with something for me.
Okay, so one of the most important things for leaders these days is to be adaptable. It's not you know, just being command and control, or trying to stop being command and control by, as what I mean is, like, telling people what to do. It's essential that leaders can do that.
Okay.
And I think a lot of leaders try not to do that and are now trying to soften things.
Right.
So the other thing is that we need to adapt not only if we're a male, then to actually embrace our feminine, which a lot of men find quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas women, we already know about the masculine world. And so actually embracing our femininity is really important.
Okay.
So there's a lot of feminine work to be done around feminine leadership. And I think also sleeping enough.
All right,
leaders.
Yeah, good. Something practical,
they have to sleep.
Yes.
They don't sleep enough. They really don't. And laughing. And, you know, it's really important what Andrew said about play and creativity.
Yeah.
Coming at, quite often, I haven't been known to ask CEOs to get under their desk. Literally under their
not
desk.
Not as a form of punishment.
No,
just,
No, it's not that kind of business. actually to look, you know, to take a problem from a very different viewpoint.
Okay, great.
And look at it.
The opposite of helicopter, whatever that's, that you mean, we are always viewing things from above, but
exactly.
Viewing things from below,
really
or down on the ground.
Yeah, getting at something from a very different perspective. We sometimes need to physically, as Andrew's work does, to actually physically take yourself into a different position.
Great.
Sounds wacky, but it's not.
No, I like it.
Lots
I like
of
it.
Good results from that.
Okay, and Andrew, quick tips. I won't give you a number. That was obviously just too mean of me, really. But just a couple of quick tips for people, you know, how to have more fun, be more creative in business, particularly because obviously this is the Brighton Business Show.
Yeah, if it's all right, I'll give you a tip around the body. And
of course.
While I'm doing that, I'll think of something
Excellent.
Around fun. I think around the body is just to notice what your stress pattern is. We all have it.
Okay.
For many people, for me, it's like my jaw goes tight, my tongue goes tight. And then we can do something together if you like. You can find your balance, like forwards and back, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
You can relax your tongue. Relax your jaw, let your belly hang loose, and think of someone who makes your heart smile. And for many people, that's quite a good kind of way.
Great.
Way in.
Yeah, and that was so quick as well. But sometimes those are the best ones, aren't they? Just to
that's
get
what you
completely
need, right?
change the picture. Yeah. Okay, so I did promise, I've completely forgot already, because I'm doing this off the cuff, to ask you for your play tip. So what is your play tip, apart from tripping over your tongue, as I had just done?
Yeah, I think my tip around play is to see that to remember that it's important. And then when we loosen up, that's when we find new things. And to sometimes just lighten up and find the funny side of things.
So permission to play is perhaps one way of putting it.
Giving yourself permission. Yeah.
Okay.
You've had one prototype, it didn't work. You did another one, it didn't work. You did another one. The world's not ended. You just do another prototype.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay, thank you very much. And I hope that people will get in touch with you both and find out a bit more about how you can help them. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Vivian Smith on the Brighton Business Show on 97.2 FM. You can find us online on the radioreverb.com website and also listen to us via podcast. If you'd like to come along and tell us about your business and what makes you different, then please do get in touch again via the radioreverb.com website. As I've said, I'll be handing over the reins to Lisa Moore from next month onwards. So do please support her by getting in touch, telling her your ideas for the show and perhaps your business story as well. So I'd like to say a big thank you to my guests. We had Danusha Melina Durbin, Andrew Kane and Lisa Moore. And I'd also like to say a big thank you to you, the listeners, for staying with me and tuning into the show. It's been a whirlwind year. I've learned so much through being here on Radio Reverb. I'd also like to thank the wonderful producers, my fellow producers, and the management team as well, who've made me so welcome and taught me such a lot. It's really been an absolute joy. So I hope that you'll continue to support the Brighton Business Show and, of course, to support RadioReverb.com. Thanks very much. Signing out. Bye.
Radio Reverb. The Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.